Yes, it is all about the children, even after they're born. Rick Smith. Silent teacher, hold my hand. Lead me
to the promised land I go. Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, ricksmithshow.com. So kind of, you know, change the message a little bit. I mean, look, what's going on the southern border is absolutely horrible. It's soulless. It's cruel. It's expected from this administration, to be honest. And you need to do nothing more than look at what's going on in Puerto Rico since Hurricane Maria. And it's one of those things that I've been saying all week, not surprised. Look what we've done to our own kids. Why would we be surprised that we would harm others? And here to share some thoughts about what's going on there on the island, what's going on with the kids there? Are they, you know, what education looks like and the attacks on all of that? I've asked one of our badass teachers' friends to come talk with us. Yarsara Ramos is living in Texas, mother, licensed Spanish teacher, master's degree, all of that, highly educated, good teacher. Yarissa, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, thank you for having us. We're thankful and honored that you'd give us a little bit of time to shed some light on Puerto Rico and what's been going on over there.
So, I mean, you're down in Texas right now. Start off, you know, what's going on your southern border is despicable. It's cruel. But I got to be honest, not surprising, given what we've seen happen in Puerto Rico, or what hasn't happened in Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm. Well, it really isn't surprising for minorities. It's not something that is, it's alarming, it's horrible, it's cruel. Whenever I go to put my babies to sleep, I cry thinking of the parents that aren't being able to do it right now. But it is with the history of what the United States has done. And Puerto Rico is no exception. Just to give a little bit of background, Puerto Rico has been a territory of the United States since 1898. Before that, we were under Spanish rule for 405 years, having developed history, national identity, all of that. The Hispanic American War happened. Military government came into the island, and then the United States gave allowed a civil government to take place in 1900, and then the famous Jones Act that has gained notoriety now. Since Hurricane Maria, everybody all of a sudden found out of the Jones Act. That was very surreal, by the way, when I'm watching the news coverage from here. All my family is over there, so the information I had was really what was coming in through the media, and seeing people find out about the Jones Act was a very surreal kind of experience, because I had never seen Puerto Rico being spoken about in my lifetime. I'm only 38 years old, but I've never actually seen so many people actually learn about the island.
Right.
Basically from 1898 to 1948, we weren't even allowed to elect our own governor. That includes education in that regard. Everything that had to do with daily life was under United States control, although we did have some elected representatives within the island. Our first real elections of our Puerto Rican elected governor was in 1948, and then we got a constitution in 1952. One of the benefits that the United States did bring was education. It mimicked the system of education in the United States into Puerto Rico. However, it had to do with the imposition of English, which did not really bode very well because of that national identity. And so that didn't really work out all that great. And I'm guessing that had something to do with the need or want of the United States to assimilate Puerto Ricans into an American way of life to see if they could be a state. But the resistance was just very, very, very strong.
And as I understand, in the interim, as I understand, you know, the vote for statehood has happened several times. And the last one, I understand, you know, went towards making Puerto Rico a state, right?
It's I just actually saw a clip with our current governor that, yes, Puerto Ricans have voted twice for statehood, but it's always been in the hands of the Congress. I mean, Puerto Rico was under U.S., total U.S. control for about 50 years, never making a move to make us a state. And so that's one of the sort of myths that a lot of people think, that Puerto Ricans actually have the control in that regard. We really don't. It is really all in the hands of Congress, and there's absolutely no law that Puerto Rico can pass that cannot be under U.S. Constitution. That's why we are indeed, by any definition, a colony of the United States.
Right.
What's happening right now with Hurricane Maria, it's new in the sense that it's the first time that we've had such a devastating natural disaster. I think the worst hurricane before that was maybe I wasn't even thinking of being born, and so that is new for us. It was completely devastating. I didn't hear about the whereabouts of my in-laws for about 2 weeks.
Wow.
That is something that I never had happened. My own parents didn't have power for a good 4 months. I have friends that still don't have power. So that is new. However, we can go back to World War I, World War II, Every time that something extraordinary has happened, it has been a cycle of exodus or migration, and then United States interests come into the island. They make a profit, and then they leave. That's just a cycle that continues to happen. And
yeah,
even with the migration of the Puerto Ricans into the United States, most Puerto Ricans are highly educated. That is something that we kind of pride ourselves about. When I myself was graduating high school, here kids get asked, are you going to the military? Are you going to the workforce? Or are you going to college? There's options. For me, the question is, what university are you going to? And my generation was the same way. And so it has always happens whenever there's a big migration, the United States has benefited from a highly educated people and workforce. And then we benefit the United States as well,
right,
inland, in the mainland, and on the island.
The disaster capitalism. Right? Disaster capitalism, mm-hmm, hard at work.
Exactly. And there really isn't much that we can do because of that Jones Act. It's not like we can decide to all of a sudden go and trade with whomever we please or change our economic system or anything like that. We're kind of zeroed in to what we can do financially speaking. And then now with Maria, privatization of the education system is not new. I remember when I was in middle school in 93, 94, both my parents are teachers. And so I remember marching at a strike because there were rumors of what was going to happen. People wanted to privatize schools. They wanted to create something similar to what we have, independent districts here in the United States.
Right.
They wanted to do something like that. And Puerto Ricans, historically, we do not take well the idea of privatizing public services.
Good.
But right now, given Maria and the devastation, I think it just proved fertile ground for
kind of like what they did in New Orleans after Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
Good crisis, good opportunity. Sweep in, mm-hmm. grab up all the things that we want, and make the profit and head out the door.
Exactly, and that creates a big problem. I mean, to bring in, first of all, from what I've been able to keep up, the Secretary of Education there, she came from the outside. And doesn't quite grasp how the system was. I get the sense, I have a taste of colonialism in my mouth whenever I hear her talk, because it's like we want to make it, she wants to make it like the United States. That's never really worked out that well in history. In these 120 years, it just hasn't worked out that well, because the national identity won't allow people to say, yeah, we're going to be like somebody else. We can't. We're Puerto Rican.
So do you think that using that frame, because I've heard, I've heard people who are like, because I've asked, why haven't we done anything there? And you go, well, that's mm-hmm. their problem. They're Puerto Ricans. And you go, no, there's mm-hmm. there's still a U.S. territory. They're still attached to the U.S. So how do you, mm-hmm. When you're talking to somebody, how do you balance that, where you go, they're in great need. They're part of our country. We need to take care of them and mm-hmm. help them and do all of that. How do you balance that?
Well, the main concern with that argument is that Puerto Rico didn't ask to be a U.S. territory. It was through invasion. It was through imposition. And so, and because of, let me see, I would have to go back to our crops being completely taken over. Our major crops were coffee and tobacco, and all of a sudden the United States needed sugar. All that got taken out. And then everything that has happened in terms of the economy in Puerto Rico, which is where the biggest problem lies, is because the profits of all these businesses that have come into the island, under the pretense of creating jobs.
Right. As it always is.
I mean, in the 30s, as it always is, 30s, 40s, 50s, Operation Bootstrap. There's actually a really good documentary on YouTube. You can just find it, Operation Bootstrap, that details how these companies, refined oil refineries, Phillips, all these manufacturers came in promising 100,000 jobs when they only created 300 or 1,800 jobs. But the Puerto Rican government invested about $1 billion.
Yeah, but that's not only Puerto Rico. That's every state in the country. We can point to every state
happened.
Who's done that. So let me ask you last line of questioning, because I'm kind of running out of time. As fascinating as I am with this topic, where do you want things to go? If in your estimation, where do the people want to go? Do they want to break away, be their own island? How do you see things moving forward? How would you want to see things move forward?
As divided as the United States is right now, Puerto Rico is going to be the same, because they're different ways that people see of solving the problems. However, closing down schools right now, they're planning on closing down 265 schools. Right now, there's on June 12th, the AP reported that a judge halted those closures because there's so many of those that the government hasn't been able to prove that they're necessary. School closures and charter takeover, definitely not the way to go. We believe, and Badass Teachers Association, we're fierce defenders of public education, and we cannot have interest that comes from the outside of the island to profit from our kids. And knowing that really research shows that charter schools aren't really any better than public schools.
No,
and
I'm
our
right there
teachers
with you.
Are Puerto Rican.
No, we
our
see
Puerto
that,
Rican
not just in Puerto Rico.
Are, yeah, and our Puerto Rican teachers are excellent. I mean, what Puerto Rican teachers do with students, with the what they have, is nothing short of amazing. We have great students. We have great teachers. And privatization is just not the way to go.
I'm with you. Yurissa, I appreciate the time. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much. I'd love to talk to you again about this. This is one of those fascinating topics that, you know, I don't get enough of. Appreciate the time.
Absolutely. You can go on and on for hours. Thank you so much, Rick. Have a beautiful evening.
You as well. Thanks so much. Again, you know, it's one of these things that, you know, the privatization, you know, scheme everywhere you look. And Puerto Rico's not alone in this. They're really not. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, Rick, at therickssmithshow.com. Tell me what you think. Quick break. Right back.